Today, we are very fortunate to have with us Vinnie Rhodes. Vinnie and his wonderful wife, Bette, and their three children have been part of St. Philip since 2019. They came to us from Beaufort, where they had known well Jeff Miller, our rector, and they have been such a blessing to St. Philip since they have been here. And one of the things that Vinnie has been very involved with is Three Rivers Outreach, which is a medical mission in Liberia. And there's a wonderful article about that in this week's issue of the St. Philip's newsletter that I would commend to you. Vinnie did his undergraduate work at Wofford and then got his medical degree at MUSC here in Charleston. And he has a wonderful story of the way that God has worked in his life. So let's welcome Vinnie Rhodes.
Thank you, Brian. I'm not sure, should I speak in front of the microphone or my double? Good. I'll stand up here. Thank you, everybody, for coming and see a lot of familiar faces. And it's been great to meet some new people. I will tell you that, you know, when you're walking out of the church on Sunday and Brian greets you and gives your wife a big hug and he sticks out that big bear paw and says, hey, I need you to speak at the men's luncheon, he doesn't give you a choice, right? I would have preferred an email that said, will you, and which I would have said, no, thank you. I am glad to be here. Multiple people have asked me, am I ready to give the talk? And the answer to that is no, because I never prepare anything. I just sort of talk off the cuff. And so I will tell you in advance, I will probably get emotional a couple of times. It's been a arduous journey, to say the least. Jeff has been with me this entire time. And it's been, let's see, 16 years of my journey to Christ. And I would love to tell you that I came to Christ on a winning streak. Not true. I came to Christ at the very bottom. So let me back up and tell you a little bit about me. I am originally from Mount Pleasant, not many of us around, although I hear a lot of Charlestonian and Mount Pleasant accents out here in the lunchroom here. So I was born and raised in Mount Pleasant. My father was a commercial fisherman, and I worked on a shrimp boat my entire life. Went to Wofford, as Brian alluded, and you know, during my entire childhood, I was raised in a Christian family, but I was just checking boxes. I wasn't a Christian. But that being said, I knew about God, I knew about Christ, but I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I went to Wofford. Along about this time, I started having some God moments, if you will. You know, people talk all the time about how I wish I'd had a burning bush moment, or I wish I'd had a white flash moment. And I had several of those during my life. And looking back, it wasn't, I think, probably that I was so lucky or whatever the word may be to have been given those moments. I think it was that I was so hard-headed, Christ couldn't get to me any other way, really. But anyway, I went to Wofford. Later went to medical school at MUSC. I met my beautiful bride while I was at Wofford. We were married. We now have three beautiful children. After medical school and after residency in family medicine, I moved to Beaufort, South Carolina, where I met Lucius Lafitte over there. We were neighbors. and had the life of Riley, really. I had everything you could possibly imagine. Alcohol entered my life, and this is where my story takes a bit of a dark turn. Alcohol really entered my life at around the year 2000, and when I was at the top of my life, at the pinnacle of my career, and I thought I was invincible. I really did. Alcohol took me to places that I never wanted to go. It ultimately took me to drugs, cocaine specifically. Sorry, I may get emotional here. And the reason I go down this path of telling you about those troubles is ultimately this is what led me to Christ. So anyway, had you looked at my life in the year 2000 on, you would have said, this guy has everything. He's got a beautiful wife. He has three beautiful children. He has a home on the water in Beaufort, his own dock, a couple of boats. And I was miserable. Utterly miserable. I had a hole in my heart that was the size of God. Excuse me. And I tried to fill it with alcohol and cocaine. Now, in case you're wondering, you can't fill that hole with alcohol and cocaine. You can't do it. I tried. God knows I tried. A buddy of mine told me one time. He said, he's one of my dearest friends. He's a radiologist in Greenwood. He said, you know, Vinny, I've decided that everybody has so much alcohol they can drink in their life, and you decided to take all of yours in the first half. And I did a pretty good job. That led me down a really dark road. And all the while I was going to church, and I was hearing what was spoken, and it was starting to sink in. When I arrived in Beaufort in 1996, I think, Jeff, were you there in 96 or 97? Right after that. And I really thought that I was too smart for religion. I was going to intellectualize myself out of believing in, like, how, you know, I'm a man of science, I understand the body, I'm a biology major, I'm a trained physician. I understand and I like it, but how can it really be true? And a few of the things that Jeff told me, didn't tell me specifically, personally, but told a group when we were in a study, when I really started to look at the history of what God had done and what Christ had done, and really looked at the history and how significant his movements and what his disciples did after his crucifixion and resurrection, I came to believe. The problem with just believing is the devil believes in God. You know, he does. I didn't accept Christ. And That weighed heavily on me for a long, long time. But again, during this period of my life, and we're raising children, and we're going to church, and we sat in the balcony. The reason we sat in the balcony because we were usually late, and we wanted to leave a little bit early. Sorry, Jeff. you're 35 years old and you're on top of the world and everything's going great. And quite frankly, I was going to a brunch and I might have a couple glasses of wine at that brunch. And I don't know, I was trying to get out of church early to go do that. But as I moved forward and I came to understand what Christ was doing in my life, and I could see it in my beautiful children and my wife, alcohol still hung heavily over me. It controlled me. It ruled me. I was obsessed with it. I was obsessed with success. I wanted to be the busiest family physician in Buford. I wanted to have the biggest house. I wanted to have, all the things. I wanted to have all of that. And it ate me alive. It really did. Around 2004, 2005, at one of our parties in Beaufort, I decided that I would try cocaine. And I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever experienced in my life. I really did. I hope to God none of you ever go down that path. I statistically speaking, there are some of you who are friends of Bill W. in this room. And for those of you who aren't friends of Bill W., that means members of Alcoholics Anonymous, or at least have experienced Alcoholics Anonymous. but I decided that I would try cocaine, and that was the very beginning of the end for me, and it ultimately led to me losing my medical license. It led to me spending a year in federal prison. Sorry. Thanks be to God, it did not lead to me losing my wife, though I don't know why. She's still with me today. If any of you had coffee last Sunday, she's the one who made the coffee. So she's very much a part of this church and a part of my life. So, I got through the prison time. It was a year of my life, and it was horrible. And I came out of prison with no job. I did have a family. I did not have my medical license, and I really had no ability to get that back. And so to say that I was a broken man is, I'd say, an understatement of epic proportions. Everything I'd worked for in my entire life was gone. And I was broken. I tell you all of that about who I was and where I was and what happened to let you know that I am where I am today, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, only because of God's redemptive nature. That's it. Pure and simple. While I was in prison, my best friend, Sonny Dupree, some of you may know Sonny, he's a member of St. Andrew's Church. Brian alluded to Three Rivers Outreach as his own personal mission, and he and I started kicking around the idea of a medical mission, and wouldn't that be neat, and wouldn't it be fun, and I thought, nothing's ever going to come of that. I am the least mission-minded person you could ever find in your life. I used to sit in the same balcony that I alluded to before, and on Mission Sunday, when Jeff would talk about mission work, I would say, yes, but I would have to take a week off from work, and that would cost me $10,000 and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to do mission work. I'm not going to do that. I'm just simply not going to do it, year after year. And Sonny came and visited me in prison, and we joked about, not joke, that's not the right word. We spoke about and laughed about, because he already had a mission in Liberia that was primarily involved with developing a school. And he said, there is no health care here. Wouldn't it be neat if you were to come there and practice medicine? And in the back of my mind, I thought, I'm going to get my license back. I've got the most high-powered lawyer that money can buy. I'm going to get my license back. Well, that didn't come to fruition. I did not and do not have my license in South Carolina, nor will I ever get it. And I didn't lose it. I gave it away. But fast forward 12 years, and we now have been to Liberia on a medical mission trip now 8 times, and we have seen over 7,000 patients. Now that's God's redemptive work. I cannot practice medicine here. You know, God said, that's okay. I've got a group of people who need you. I'm very careful not to have some savior complex about going over there and helping all these people, but it is amazing that God took a person who is totally broken, without hope of practicing medicine, and plopped me down in Liberia, West Africa, and we've helped 7,000 people. That's God's redemptive nature. So, what's my time frame, Brian? Where am I?
So you've got about 15 minutes.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So what I would like to speak about, and hopefully this would, and I'm not going to make 15 minutes, so you guys don't have to worry about that. You know, this is not a story about Vinnie Rhodes and what he went through and what happened and what he's doing out there in the world. This is really a story, and I hope that some of you, and if anybody wants to talk about it after the meeting, I'm glad to. God took me into the rooms of AA. And AA took me back to God. And I mean that very sincerely. And I'm certainly not suggesting that AA is the only way to sobriety. And this is not, I'm not here to talk about sobriety and alcoholism and drug addiction. Although this is what brought me to Christ. I would love to tell you again that I came to Christ on a winning streak. I did not. I was a broken, hell, I'm still broken, you know. Nobody comes to AA, and I think very few people come to Christ on a winning streak. I think most of us come to God, come to Christ, broken and needing help. And so that's been my journey, and it's been a difficult journey. It's been a journey that I have no idea why my wife is still with me. I would have left me a long time ago. I mean, she's God sent for sure. but to circle back around, and again, I'm not going to make 15 minutes, so you guys will be you get off easy today. You know, if anybody out there is struggling, if anybody out there knows of family members who are struggling, if anybody out there has issues or thoughts or problems, I would tell you that for my personal journey, until I finally turned it all over to God, it's the same God I've believed in all my life. It's the same God that I've known about my entire life. But until I really turned my life over and let him be Lord of all, because he's either Lord of all, as Jeff says, or not at all, then we can't really be free. And I sound like I'm preaching now, and I don't mean to preach, because I'm certainly not a preacher. But I did want to relay one more thing. The journey that we all take, and the journey that I take, that I took, I despised my journey. I hated it. I truly hated it. But I love where I am now. And that's only through the grace of God. So, with that, I'll end.
Vinny, thank you so much. It takes a lot of guts to do what you just did. And one of the beautiful things about the Christian faith that you spoke about so powerfully is that Christ came for people who are broken sinners. And we all look pretty good today. We're dressed up. We look pretty nice. But all of us know those times that are the dark nights of the soul. And there is plenteous redemption in Jesus Christ. And when we are at that place where maybe looking at the outside, people think, oh, it looks like they've got it all, but we're dying inside. Those are the times that we need to humble ourselves and realize that all those things we're trying to fill that God-shaped hole with aren't going to do it, and that we need to seek after Jesus. Because when we ask him for help, he is there. So I'm so grateful for your story. I'm so grateful for your family. So grateful that you're part of our family here at St. Philip's now. Now, I'd encourage you, if you're struggling with any of these things, Vinny is more than happy to talk with you. Our clergy are more than happy to talk with you. But let's thank Vinny again for being willing to share with us. And let me close this with a word of prayer and a blessing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for Vinny, and we thank you so much for your love for him, and that you were there waiting when he hit that bottom and when he turned to you, that you were waiting there with open arms to receive your beloved son back into your embrace. Father, I pray for anyone who is struggling with these types of issues or any issues, that we would remember that you are that Father who is waiting for your sons to come home. Lord, we pray that you would surround us all with your grace, and that you would strengthen us to be able to turn from the things that draw us away from you and to return back into your embrace. Lord, we pray your blessing on Vinny and on his mission and on his business and on his family. And Lord, we pray that as we break over the summer, that you would keep us all safe, that you would keep us strong in our faith, and that you would reunite us this fall to continue to follow after you. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for coming.